knowing good and evil.
Not knowing good and evil.
Takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis, to when God first told Adam not to eat of the tree. There was one tree in the garden that Adam was not to partake of. We have Satan already in that garden. It didn't say when God had put him in the garden or how things had came about. But we know Satan was there. And we know God had commanded Adam not to eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. I don't know if he told him the name of the tree. I don't know if he was saying that the tree was for good and evil or whatever, because the word evil didn't come up, but he says not to eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. We know that what we need to see and realize is that God made man. God made man, and man was flesh. And God was in a process that he hadn't completed man. He hadn't completed man. And he had gave man a job to do, but he gave a qualifier to God. Adam doing that job is that Adam was to be able to eat of any tree of that garden except one tree. So I think what was being tested there was his obedience, a knowing of God. And by being a fleshly individual, a carnal individual being made, I think it was a test of his obedience, a test of the flesh. And we don't know why was this test brought about, but it must have to do with something with Satan. Satan and his creation, when God created Satan, we know Satan is a created being. But Satan was a being that we term as evil, wicked. In other words, it has this harmful effect. It has an adversarial effect, one of competition, one of something that we look at and repulses us. And apparently this was in the world. This spirit was in the world. This being was in the world. And that was a fleshly, a carnal, a human being. And God had created that being in his image, in his likeness, but he put a stipulation on him living where he was living at, that he not touch a particular tree. We see that Satan deceived a woman. He didn't deceive the man. Let's get that straight. Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. So that therein lies a difference between man and woman, and spoken of in the book of Timothy when it says the woman was deceived, Adam was not deceived. So in this deception wherein Adam was deceived, Eve was deceived, it was in Satan's talking, in the perception of what was being spoken to her, and what did she discern, and what did she derive from the message, that it persuaded her to do something God had told her not to do. The reading of scripture, as I said, came from the 22nd verse of the 3rd chapter. It says, the Lord says, behold, the man has become as one of us. In other words, he has become as God. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers preach on that and saying Satan didn't lie. Well, Satan did lie, because the thing was, he was in the flesh, and no one in the flesh can be God. And Satan told him, you would be as God, you would be like God. He says that God know that you, in the day that you eat of it, you'll be like God. See, in the flesh, we cannot be like God. We have to have a spirit. We have to have his spirit to be like God. His spirit is a spirit of holiness. That proposition that was placed before Eve, it showed a weakness or fallibility in her, but on Adam's part, it showed disobedience. Because he says, the man has become as one of us. to know good and evil. That's why I titled this sermon, Not Knowing Good and Evil. It would have been better not to have known. And that's the thing about it. My little granddaughter back there, she knows some things. And being born a human, a man, you know, and, you know, of that species of man, it's inherent in our blood, this evilness, that it comes in. And we know it comes through the seed of man. So it's something about the flesh, something inherent about the flesh that makes us enemies of God. It says that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So we know to be in the flesh, you can't be subject to flesh, as he had put enmity between the flesh and God. And to reconcile us, to get us back to the right state, a right relationship between us and God, we have to accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which reconciles man back to God. But it also places a born-again spirit. It places a spirit in man that's subject to the law of God. So, that knowledge of good and evil was detrimental to man. It was something that wasn't designed for man to have. That's why God had forbid it, because it would cause problems for man. It's been causing problems for man ever since the beginning. And he says, now the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. Now we hear of another tree that Adam apparently hadn't eaten of. Adam had never ate of this tree, the tree of life. So there was a tree that was forbidden to him to eat, which he could have eaten of the tree of life, because we don't see a prohibition on it. But now we see where God's prohibited him from eating of that tree of life, because he's eaten of the tree of good and evil. And to know evil is bad for you. That's something God really didn't want humans to have. But to condemn sin in the flesh, he knew Satan was capable. God knows everything. And he knew this was going to be Satan's act. And the ones that partook of that, there was going to be the seed of the devil. There are two seeds in the earth. There are just wicked and evil people out there that's of their father, the devil. That's of their father, the devil. And so we just have to come to terms as Habakkuk came with evil. Why is there evil? And I told you in Bible study about a theodicy, and you know, it is to reconcile. In other words, how does God get along or use evil? How does God correlate with the evil that's going on in the universe? So what we have to do is know how to answer people on this, and to become as gods, to become as God, we have to get knowledge infused from God. We have to have the mind of God. But, you know, it takes a control over the being itself. The spirit has to have control over that being itself, because how can we that are evil do good? It has to be God in us. There's none good but God. So if you're doing any good, that's of God. God has a restraining effect on his people. So it says, lest he put forth his hand of the and eat of the tree of life, he'll live forever in that condition. So we see here a displacement of another doctrine that man teaches, is the immortality of the soul. That man's going to live in hell, and that this is going to happen to man throughout eternity, and that the soul that's, God says the soul that sinned shall die. And he had told Adam, that's what this was predicated upon, that he told Adam that he should surely die. So we see the doctrine of the soul in hell, and the immortal soul is of the devil. Without God, there is no life. And if you sin, the soul that sins shall die. So let's get that doctrine out of here. We see that man wasn't given eternal life. The only way we can have eternal life, that is in Jesus Christ. He don't want us to live in the condition of knowing good and evil. not in a state of living forever and having that knowledge. It's torturous. It's torturous. And that's what Habakkuk trying to reconcile, because he was living during the time of oppression. He was living during the time of injustices going on in the world. He was living during this time, and he couldn't reconcile it. And I have one of the members was telling me about the evil in the world and the evil that's going on. And see, what it is, it's getting to them. It gets to you, the evil going on, and why God doesn't do something about that evil. But see, what happens is, God's trying to get you, wake you up, to get you closer to him, to show you that he's doing something about that evil every day. That he's judging evil, and that he's working, and that he's in control. But the evil he does allow, he allows it to bring you closer to God and to awaken you that you would help judge the world. Because you have to depart from evil yourself. So before you go to talking about somebody else, before you go to talking about the other evil people, let's get those beams out of our own eyes. Let's look at our evil, and that's where the church is failing at. To look at the evil that we're doing, because all of us attain that knowledge of good and evil. So this is something that we have to get out of us, evil. It's there. And you know what is evil? This is the evil and last and evil days that we're living in. Now, self-centeredness and all this stuff of the end is evil. And let's talk about that. See, because good is a virtue. Of doing and being obedient to God is a virtue. Whereas sin and evil and all these other things are called vices. They're in us. We have vices in us that we have to see and that we have to correct. Without correcting them, those are the ones that doom us to hell, that destine us to hell. Because what we have to do is mortify the body, make it dead to sin. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy. The law is slack, in other words. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1st to the 5th verse. What Habakkuk was seeing was injustice, as I told you, oppression. We see that in our system today. We see that in our community today. And, you know, someone had told me someone was in my yard the other morning about 3 or 4 o'clock. They didn't know what they was doing back there. And I said, well, look, I got spotlights up back there. I have all kinds of other stuff. But what are they doing back there? What is it? I can't stay up all night worrying about what people are doing to me. I can't worry about who's speaking against me and going. In other words, there's too much going on in the world for me to worry about everything that goes on. It's too much stuff for me to sit there and watch the news and worry about all that, but still I must be sensitive to a degree to know that it's going on and to know that it has to be something done about it. But I leave that in God's hand. That's why Habakkuk said in the 2nd chapter, in the 4th verse, that the just shall live by faith. We would have to live by faith in God unless we would come apart. To think that we would have to protect our own self, that we would have to keep ourselves safe, that we would have to be able to keep our children safe, that we would have to be able to keep the neighborhood and community right. That's too large a task for us. Only God can do that. And you have to have faith that God is doing that and that he's in control. That's how we accept good and bad at the Lord's hand. See, Job learned that lesson, and God had to allow evil to come up on Job. And then he said, well, shall not we receive good and evil at the hand of the Lord? You see, we can handle good stuff happening to us. We can handle blessings. But a lot of us can't handle suffering. We can't handle injustices. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he was saying, blessed are you when people persecute you and do you all manner of wrong. But somehow or another, we think contrary to that. If somebody does us wrong, we want to get even right then. We want vengeance right then. We want to castigate their name, talk about them and gossip and all that. And in turn, what does that do? That makes us evil and wicked. Because God says when they do you that, you blessed. You don't curse. When your enemies mistreat you, you feed them, you pray for them. God's trying to give you the knowledge of good and take away the knowledge of evil. We have to purge that out of us. The law is slack. It was slack during his time. And God said that man had become as gods. He had made us as judges and as rulers. He had made us as gods. In the book of Psalms, he says, ye are gods. In other words, we have, God had gave us a certain amount of authority to judge. If we would go back and look at Exodus, is where he proclaimed this to Moses. If I wrote that note down, Exodus, the 18th chapter, the 19th through the 22nd verse. He says, listen to my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for other people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 10,000s, rulers of 50s, rulers of 10, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. So that's the Kenite was talking for God to Moses about judging the people, about how Moses should rule and judge the people and stand before the people, because it was going to be too much for Moses to judge every little thing. So now we see judgeships in the nation. We see people that appointed councilmen or judges and everything. But we see that has been corrupted. God had set it to where man be judge over man, to where we would set little rules and laws and everything. And he tells us in the Bible, be subject to the rules or the laws or ordinances of man for Christ's sake, that we should obey authorities and those that have rule over us. But what Solomon saw perversion of that system. Solomon saw what was going on today in our system. Solomon saw what was going on during the times of Habakkuk. The people who have been placed in positions to rule and have authority over us and to judge in place for God, they don't have the Spirit of God. They are fleshly and they are carnal. And that's what I told you that Satan was after in the beginning. He was after rule, reign, and authority over man. But what God did, he allowed Satan to do this. He foresaw sin. But what God was going to do was going to choose out a people from among those in the flesh that would obey him. That the ones called the church, the called out ones, the one that was chosen, that was going to walk in his way. So that's why I tell you, you have a choice to know good and evil. You have a choice to have power and authority over your body. Satan does not have power and authority over you unless you give it to him. Jesus has died and he had defeated Satan and he had took control of this to where you're able to buffet your body, where you're able to bring your body under subjection. But it's only as you submit yourself to God. That's the only way you can resist the devil, is that you submit yourself to God. You can't resist him in your own strength. You can't resist him in your own power and authority. It perverts you. It perverts you to have rule authority over your neighbor. Everything that's in the world, God created good, but here's the little catch here. Satan perverts it. He perverts that which is good. You take sex, sex is good. But God placed it in the marriage. He placed a reproductive system there. But he placed it as something to be shared in a sacred condition between man and woman. But sex used outside of that context, it's evil, it's wicked, and it's a perversion. And it makes us evil and wicked. And that's what happened to the church. They've become perverted. So let's look at this, what Solomon had seen in context of the law had grown slack. And that's what individuals cause laws to become slack. Church people, God's people, that's what Habakkuk had seen. These were the people God was going to punish. Because slackness begins with church. Slackness begins with the sons of God. If y'all would be diligent and stand on God's word and not budge. In other words, you would have to have the ability to hate your mother, father, sister, brother, even your own self where transgress God at. You have to be for God completely and wholly to cast Satan out. He can't have anything in you. You don't have that power and authority, or else it becomes evil because Satan is using you. Satan would use you. Solomon was a wise man, and he's seen this, and he marveled at that injustice. Ecclesiastes 4, 1 through 3. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he that both they which not yet been, who had not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Solomon said it would be better off for you to be dead than to live in such an evil and oppressed world. That's why I tell you, it's an evil world. I was talking to my brother the other day about this video where they show where the police has these young men down, and one of them is just wailing and beating this young man in the head. And I said, that's evil. We look at the justice system where the people that shot those two young ladies, they still hadn't found the person that did that. And that blood's all over the land. That causes bloodshed over the land when injustice is being done. We were looking at a program the other day about in-home nursing versus nursing homes. They're trying to reduce the cost. And man does things to try to do good. But see, once we try to do good, evil is right there. It's right there when we attempt to do good. Evil is right there present. So there is good in that program, but see, it's of man and it's not of God. Else that wouldn't even exist at all. Sickness and infirmity wouldn't exist at all if we were totally for God, because by his stripes we were healed. And that's the power he's giving us, is to overcome all these things. But when we see the oppression that's going on with the sick, we see the injustices that are going on in our law system, where the public defender was saying how many people wasn't going to be able to go to court on time, how many people that wasn't going to have proper representation in the court system or whatever. Those are wicked and evil systems that man has propagated. By the life he lived, he's caused all these things. If you look at the rise in unemployment, if you look at the rise in the unmarried, all this is directly tied with man's disobedience against God. The laws of man have grown slack. There's no power in the law anymore. When you're able to unite man and man and woman and man, that law is powerless because the law has of itself has become wicked and evil. See, So Solomon seen this in his day, and Habakkuk saw it also, that the ones that should be comforters, we should get comfort from our government, but the government exists there for the prosecution of evildoers, but the government itself has become wicked and evil. I said, you have a problem there. There's a problem when the ones God had put in authority are your abusers. There's a problem when your child is born and the parent itself abuses that child. You put an part over that child and you end up hurting or killing that child and abusing that child. That's a problem there. That's wicked and that is evilness there. Habakkuk seen this during that time. There's a problem with a lot of people, and I'll tell you about this thing with the nursing home. A lot of them don't want to put their parents in a nursing home or don't want to do things with the nursing home because that means that they get the check. The nursing home would get the check then. They want the money themselves. They want the benefits that are derived from it because of their laziness, of their covetousness, of their greediness. And right there, two or three streets over from me last year, this elderly woman in her 80s or 90s or so, her daughter and granddaughter had her in the house and she had been dead a whole week. They were getting her check and they had her bound to a bed. And what was the check? Maybe $600 or $700 a month. And this is what you will misuse and abuse your parent and bring about death for? See, we live in a wicked and evil society. And the jails are burgeoning because of the wickedness and the depravity of man. The perilous times we're living in. Perilous times. See, if you didn't have the knowledge of evil, this wouldn't be going on. If you didn't know how to do evil. So, when Paul was talking to Timothy about this, he said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. There's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself and watching after yourself. But self-love, it has to be selfless in effect in God, in agape, in other words, in over your love for others. You have to be able to love others more than you love yourself. Now, I'm not saying because we see what Paul told him, said, save yourself from this untoward generation. So don't get that out of kelter. That's why I say you need the Spirit to give you understanding in what God's saying here. You have to have moderation and you have to understand the Word of God here. That all of these things that Paul are listing that are causing perilous times are things that are Satan, where man has become self-centered. And nowhere else do you find that greater than in some of the Word of Faith churches where they're preaching prosperity. I got my blessing and you get yours. It's a lot of people that dedicate things to God and that what Jesus was saying that you call it korban, that this is dedicated to God and you don't honor your mother and father and that makes the commandments by your tradition, you're making the commandments of God void. You know, it's a lot of young people with a lot of nice jobs and everything now, and the older people have gotten the way they can't take care of themselves or get any help. Or they say, well, you can get help from the government or something. We have to have this for church. We have to have this to take care of ourselves. And so centered on themselves, they're not honoring their parents. See, that's the evil and wickedness of the generation. Paul was talking about those last days. He said that they would be lovers of money, boasters and proud. And see, that's what this nation thrives on. That's the people that they elect. People that love money, tell them that they can get rich. That's the kind of political and religious leaders. The churches that preach that you should be content with such that you have and that you should share your wealth, that God had given you power to get wealth, they're not very well people today. See, during that time, the preachers had to go out and work for a living because the only churches that were making any money was the prosperity churches. It was the false prophets. It was the false preachers. That's an evil and a wickedness in himself for your children, for our children to be taking care of false gods better than the true and religious, the real God. That's why Joshua said, choose for yourself the God that you will serve. It's an evil within itself. See, that's coming along with the knowledge of good and evil. That's why it's better that man doesn't live forever in this state. That's why I'm just like Jesus, and my children don't like for me, hear me talk about Jesus' way of life. See, because if you are Jesus' way of life, you talk about an end of the world scenario. And they hate that when I keep saying the world is about to come to an end. This system, this world has to end because Jesus Christ says it does. It's Satan's world. Satan is the god of this world, and this world has to come to an end. It's an evil and wicked world. But through their love of the world, they've become enemies of God. Any man that loves the world and the things of the world is an enemy of God, which is evil in and of itself. It's materialism, the god of mammon. That's a divisive spirit. Men are blasphemous, disobedient to parents. I just now crossed over that one about being disobedient to parents and being unthankful. And you know, we live in one of the most unthankful generations it is. And some of the racists nowadays are just as unthankful as they can be. Some of our own people are unthankful. Our children are unthankful. You can use the word ungrateful. You're not happy or content or thankful for what a person did. You're not thankful for the sacrifices your parents made for you. You're not thankful for the sacrifices some of your leaders made for you. And that's what then happened to man. He's become unthankful. Once a person is unthankful, see, Christ says, give thanks in all things. See, we should be thankful to everybody and to everything. We should thank God in all things, but we think that we deserve what we get. Everybody says that ought to get this, we ought to get that. They think that they're more important than what they should be. That's an evil and wicked generation there. It's slight. It is slight. They're unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous. Let me go back to slanderers right here, because like I said, before you go to talking about that judge or that lawyer, before you go to talking about that mayor, that doctor, that other person, watch it now. If you slander that person, even if it's right, you become wicked and evil. Isn't that evil? See, because the Bible tells us speak evil of no man. One of my brothers was discussing the judgment that the mayor had made in this thing concerning North Baton Rouge the other day. And he was talking against him. See, but don't we know the wickedness and evilness of people without saying it? See, the prudent should keep wise. A lot of the people that voted for that same mayor that's talking about him nowadays, well, where probably the problem comes in, you should have found out before you attach your wagon to it. You see, a lot of times, before you attach yourself to a person, you should take time to find out. You should ask the Lord. You should inquire of God of that person you're getting attached to. You get all married to this guy, that woman, or whatever, and find out how dirty and low down they were, and now you telling your parents or somebody about, and you should have listened at your parents in the first place before you got hooked up with that person. Before you got hooked up on that job. That's where the wickedness and evil come in. You remember I told you it was self? But self always looks for somebody else to blame. You're looking for somebody else to accuse. For your shortcomings. Stop pointing the fingers at other people. Watch it. That's a double-edged sword. It's going to look back and it's going to be pointing at you. Evil is right there with you. What we need to do is stop complaining and stop murmuring. Stop it. And see, God says he sees what's going on. See, and that's what Habakkuk's complaint. The first two chapters of Habakkuk are complaints. And he was wondering how God was going to allow somebody much more wicked than they were to do this to them. And he says, why, Lord, would you allow someone much more wicked than us to do this to us? It was in Isaiah. Isaiah starting at the fifth chapter of Isaiah, starting with the 14th verse. But the injustices that were going on, the Lord says, the grave is licking its lips in anticipation and open its mouth wide. The great and the lowly and all the drunken mob will be swallowed up. Humanity will be destroyed and people brought down. Even the arrogant will lower their eyes in humiliation. But the Lord of heaven's armies will be exalted by his justice. He's going to bring justice. And he's talking about his people, in which you're seeing a lot of people of high degree and of high name. All them are being put to shame nowadays. You're seeing people of low degree. God's judgments will come to all. See, but what happens is, if you would stop doing your evil and wickedness, you can see God working. But see, what your problem is, you're so busy noticing everybody else, you don't realize what's going on in your life and what God's doing to you, trying to open your eyes up. He says, but the holiness of God will be displayed by his righteousness. In that day, lambs will find good pastures and fatted sheep and young goats will feed among the ruins. What sorrow for those who drag their sins behind them with ropes made of lies. Who drag wickedness behind them like a cart. They even mock God and say, hurry up and do something. We want to see what you can do. Let the Holy One of Israel carry out his plan, for we want to know what it is. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light. He's talking about the false professors here who call good evil, who call evil good. And that's what the preachers are doing nowadays. And see, they don't have the understanding of knowledge of Joseph. And Joseph was able to see his brothers for what they were. See, a lot of us, we're not walking with the Spirit of God. You remember I told you, you have to walk with the Spirit of God to know that which is evil and to be able to deal with evil? The Bible tells you the Lord was with Joseph. So that you notice that Joseph stayed sanctified, consecrated, apart from his brothers. See, Joseph was always set apart from them. He was different from them. And when they did evil, Joseph would say something, because we shouldn't shown evil. We shouldn't go along with evil. Job was a man that hadn't shown evil. That's why his friends and everybody was so quick to jump on Job. See, if you holy, if you hadn't shown evil, the world wants to come after you. And that's what happened with Christ. He hadn't shown evil. In other words, he didn't go along with evil. He stood against evil. And we have to do that same thing, whether it's in our brothers, our sisters, mother, whoever it be, our children, even in ourselves, our parents. We have to stand against that which is against God. Joseph told his brothers, say, you did it for evil, but God meant it for good. See, only God can turn evil into good. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. So what man's doing against you at evil at this time, look at it as God working good in your life. Look at it that every knock is a boost. Every put down is a pull up by God. That every denunciation of you, blessed are you. That every time somebody tries to starve you, you be able to feed them. That you be able to say good and admonish and do good. See, that's what God's looking for us to do. That's why it says the innocent, the lamb. See, amongst all of the garbage going on in the world, God still gives you sunny days, don't it? Even though it's raining outside, you still see that the clouds have a silver lining. It might not feel like it's easy sometimes, and sometimes the journey is a weary journey. Sometimes, but you know what? God always gives His beloved rest. Just when you're at your worst point, God sends some widow woman with that little last bit of flour that she gives you to nourish you and lift you up. God's going to bring something in your life that man won't be able to take your peace and joy from you. See, it's evil to eat of those trees and live forever in that state where you carry around misery, where you carry around depression, because that's an evil within itself. You couldn't go before a king or leader in the days and be sad, because that's a spirit you bring around to everybody else. You know, a lot of people don't come around your house or come around you if you always being negative, if you always living in a bad way, because that rubs off on us. You don't want to be around somebody that's not an encourager, that's always looking at the downside. Now, we need those to be able to see the downside and know that there is a downside. There's nothing wrong with dealing with reality. But God has to be in our life to face reality and know that we overcome. That's what we need God for. See, Adam didn't have God at that time because the sentence came upon him of death. That became like God. But what they didn't know was being equal to God was a task that they wasn't cut out for. It was a task that would lead to them to be headstrong. They were traitors. They were hearted, and they was lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's a characteristic of the last days. That's the characteristics of the last days. Is that, notice all the young people now, they want to go from one pleasure to another pleasure. They want every day to be like the weekend. We have to realize that this is a spirit that's within us, that we inherited the knowledge of good and evil. We have to put this out of our mind. How do we put this out of our mind? Tell me that, Brother Jackson. How do we put this out of our mind? It's by renewing our mind. By the renewing of our mind in Christ Jesus. We have to allow that same mind to be in us that was in Christ Jesus. So what we have to start the process of doing is walking as He so walked. We have to walk as Jesus so walked. We have to stand against all these things just as He stood against. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the 8th chapter and the 13th verse, the reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverted mouth. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In other words, to walk in God's way is to hate evil and wherever the evil lies. If it lies in your children, that's where you have to hate it at. Now, we know that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. See, that's the problem is, a lot of us are carnal and we're not praying to God and reading the Word of God. We're not led by the Spirit of God. So when a person preaches to us or talks to us, we go back and read and study the scripture where it says, well, here it says we shouldn't hate. And now you telling me we should hate the children. I hate our... But if you're a person of God, and that's what Habakkuk had to get to understanding to live by faith. And faith is faith in Jesus Christ. That's a seed that God plants in us. The word of faith is a seed. It's understanding the word of God, to understand and have a knowledge of God. But see, we don't have any power in our life because we don't have a knowledge or understanding of God. So when I said to hate that, your children, you think, In other words, how can I put this to you here? We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. So it's not our physical children that we are hating, but it's what's in them. It's the world in them. It's their ways that we're hating. And that those ways is a personal human spirit. It's a demon. It's demonic. In other words, it's against God. And that spirit has to come to destruction. And the only way we can destroy that spirit and overcome that strong man is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. So when you turn against your children, if you hadn't shown them the love of God, they're not going to understand it. They may end up killing you or hurting you or turning against you. See, but if someone knows that you love them, they can more readily deal with tough love. They can deal with you handling them this way because only God is in you doing this. He's leading and guiding you to do this destruction. See, when Eli corrected his children or tried to correct his children, and it didn't fail, Hophni and Phinehas, and Samuel said it failed, because what it was, there wasn't any discipline in Eli's life. See, Eli lacked discipline himself. If you notice, Eli was always asleep. Eli was always in a condition of not reinforcing the way he lived. So his children misunderstood that, and they took it the wrong way. So they was robbing the parishioners, and they was living contrary to God. See, a lot of times, if we would do like a lot of the wealthy people do, you have to cut your children off. But if they're going to inherit your wealth and you still giving to them, and they're not living according to the principles of God, then there's no reason or no way that you can discipline them to get them on the right track. I remember a couple of years ago, Jimmy Swaggart had a problem with some people that had said that he had gotten their mother or whatever to sign a lot of her property and a lot of the stuff over to him, and that they wasn't going to inherit this or whatever. I didn't understand it then, but I do understand it now. Why do parents cut some of their children out of their inheritance, major portions of their inheritance? Because God had brought that parent to a point in seeing that that child is just like the prodigal son. They would throw those finances, all that you worked for, they would throw those away with the wicked. They would throw those away with the evil. And that parent realized and see that. Solomon talked about it in Ecclesiastes, that it's an evil, wicked thing that you have to die and leave your inheritance to a person that you don't know what they're going to do with it or what's going to become of it. And that parent realized that that church could use those funds better than that child would use those funds, that they would be laying up treasure in Christ. And I didn't say they stripped their children. They leave them a modest income, but they don't leave it all to them because they're not going to be able to use what God had given them, had blessed you with. If you could see those things in your children and everything, that's nepotism just to give it to them just because they're yours. That's nepotism. See, sometimes we have to ask God for His leading and direction, and it might not agree with the world, and it's not going to agree with the world because the world hates God and it's not going to understand God's reckoning. It's not going to understand the way God reckons things. And see, by us being brought up in the world and cast in the world, we're in the mode of the world. Until we start listening to God's true messages now. He said in the end times that He was going to send the angels of God to separate the wheat from the tares. Now, He wasn't talking about supernatural angels. He was talking about working through His messengers, His preachers. In the last days, the church is going to become powerful and is going to preach the word of God. Man's going to become upright as God had planned for him to be. Man's not going to be wicked and evil as Satan devises to be. That's not going to be that fall. Only Satan's children will suffer that demise. But as we start walking in God, trusting in God, we'll be able to, Isaiah talks about it in the 7th chapter of Isaiah. When we're thinking he's talking about Jesus here, but we're to do that as Jesus did. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. In other words, God's going to send his spirit and pour it out upon all flesh. Well, he's going to write his laws within our hearts. He's going to write those laws upon our hearts where we'll know to do the good, refuse the evil. As Christ never did choose to do evil. He never did any evil. And that's how we have to be. God's Spirit has to be within our hearts to obey his laws. It's all about disobedience and understanding God to know that you grow stronger in God by obeying God and doing the will of God. Each step leads to another step. Step by step. God will lead you step by step to this strength. But you have to overcome those in your own household before you can overcome the world. Charity begins at home, they said. You have to overcome those right there in your own church. See, because wickedness is right there in the church. Evil is right there in the church. You have to lay aside every weight and sin besetting us from running this race. See, my brother, he didn't understand that. He was asking me about an antenna and thing the other day. And when I told him, he was telling me about something he seen on Dr. Oz or whatever. I said, I don't watch Dr. Oz. I really don't watch on TV and this and that. And he was wondering, how could he help get me some television channels to watch television? And I said, it's not that I don't have television. I said, my wife has DirecTV. It says, I don't watch television. I'm able to watch television, but I don't watch television. Why would I sit there and watch Dr. Oz? Why would I watch Oprah or a talk show and it's of the world? I cut out the other day. I was telling my wife, well, no more Criminal Minds, no more this show or no that show. Stop watching all those, because that's the world coming into you. That's the world coming into you. When you be able to refuse the evil, see, and the world will call you crazy in the end, but see, it called Christ a fool. It called his apostles fools. And Paul said, whose fools are you? They're forsaken all for God's sake. You have to be able to leave the world and the things of the world and take up your cross and follow after Christ. You have to deny yourself. You see, it's not easy to deny food. And you know, addiction is something that's hard to fight. And if you have an addiction, you could more or less identify with people with an addiction. It's easy to, if you have an addiction yourself. Or do you have an addiction? You're talking about the prostitute. You're talking about the drug addict. Do you have an addiction? It's just hard. See, I was listening to a preacher this week. He said, I don't have drug addiction and everything. He said, but you know how I understood the drug addict? He said, man, if you lay some fried chicken before me, I couldn't resist that. And I was listening at him preaching this, and that something about him, how much he eats and everything. And I said, you know, he's right in that. See, addiction is addiction. See, some people have the love of money. My addiction might not be your addiction. See, but you can get addicted to television. You sit there and watch anything that's put on television. See, because you're bound. Satan wants to bind you to something. You know, he's bound a lot of people to church. You know, a lot of people faithful to church. Satan's faithful to church. Satan will beat you in church. Satan loves to get to church early. Satan will get into the pulpit. Satan will get into the Bible. He brought the pulpit and start quoting scripture to Jesus. See, Jesus had came to set us at liberty. He came to set us at liberty. I was telling you about the preacher the other day trying to tell me about the Sabbath and being bound and this and that and the Sabbath. And you don't even know nothing about the Sabbath. You preaching or teaching on something you've heard and not that you experienced. God's trying to give us liberty. And we could enjoy the liberty and freedom that God gives us if we would freely eat of all these trees God has in the garden. If we would freely enjoy the life that God has given us. But what do we want to do? We want to be disobedient and evil and go eat of that one tree God said, don't eat of. See, you want to go do that which is forbidden by God. And that's evil and wicked. They said that they did evil by departing from the living God. Whenever you do something that God forbids, it's evil. All God had given in you in life and what Satan puts your mind on is what you can't do. What you can't do. Here this fellow trying to tell me on what day I can't work. He trying to tell me what I could do and couldn't do. And then you know what that does to me if I listen to him? That bounds me to him. I'm bound only to Christ. I'm his bondservant. That's liberty in Christ Jesus. But see, the evilness is, and to know good and evil, is to know this world. But we're not of the world, and he says, I want you to keep them from the evil that's in this world. And that's what he is. He's a keeper. He's able to keep you from the evil that's in this world. Don't listen at people when they say you have to sin. But you, one thing you do have to do, you have to learn what sin is and to depart and turn from sin. God gives you that power. He said, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He can make you white as snow. He can wash sin away. See, that's not how to win people to go about telling them what your church don't do. We don't allow no tattoos. We don't allow you to wear that kind of clothes. We don't allow you to do that. Maybe you ought to hush. You're not a soul winner. You know, it says you have to be wise to win souls. What you need to do is bring the